When Mr. Armstrong saw the Attorney General do his takeover bid of the church, then he saw not just the Attorney General, but he saw the actual spiritual side of things as well. Turn with me over to Revelation chapter 12, because he made comments at the time that he felt that this particular event in Revelation 12 had actually taken place, or probably had taken place, shortly before the Attorney General took over. Because it says in verse 9, the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And the result of that, if you look in verse 13, it says, and when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, then he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. So the church was persecuted and was being persecuted by the government authorities, and he saw that as a sign of what in fact this particular prophecy had been actually taken place. I want you to notice, however, that the woman that brought forth the man-child, if you go into the beginning of the chapter, verse 1, where it says, there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon of feet, and upon her head the crown of 12 stars. And that was ancient Israel that then brought forth the man-child, but it also continued on into spiritual Israel through the entire prophecy. And therefore it's spiritual Israel that then flees into the wilderness that's being talked of at the end, which Mr. Armstrong recognized. But the fact is that a great deal is happening in the news today regarding to the detriment of physical Israel and spiritual Israel as well. There's an article actually appeared in the newspaper today, which I thought was very interesting. It was a comment by Damien Thompson. He gives a weekend comment on religious topics or ethical topics in the Daily Telegraph. And he says, first, the actual title is, First They Came for the Scientologists. And it said basically that the Church of Scientology is furious. France's judges have upheld its conviction for organized fraud, which includes charging followers thousands of euros for an electrometer to measure mental energy. Now, this is an integral part of their belief, apparently. It says, a heresy trial, yells the church, promising to fight the affront to religious liberty in the European Court of Human Rights. Now, as he goes on next, he makes various comments, but then he goes on, he says, you're probably thinking, well, cry me a river. They don't like it tough. In other words, he's not particularly bothered. The general result and attitude of mind towards Scientology is not particularly favourable. It's hard to feel sorry for the followers of Ron Hubbard, particularly now that any search engine will uncover terrifying allegations against rogue Scientologists. But, and I'm saying this through gritted teeth, in other words, he doesn't actually agree with Scientology at all, but he says the church has a point. Not necessarily about this particular French case, but about the general threat to the religious liberty in Europe. And this is why it becomes quite key to Britain and America. It becomes key to the church as well. It says, the French government regards Scientology as a cult rather than a religion. That may seem like a statement of the obvious, but as soon as you start to nail down the difference between cults and sects and religions, you run into trouble. The EU says that it guarantees religious freedom. But here's the crucial thing. In some countries, that applies only to groups that governments register as religions. There is your problem. It's what they define. They have religious freedom, and they crow this from the highest pulpit. But not all religions are equal, but some are more equal than others. That basically is what's going on. That's a socialist manifesto. That's a socialist direction. It says, the danger is that we're moving towards a European model in which faith needs to be rubber-stamped by civil servants and a cult is any religious group that the government dislikes. And that's the direction that we're going within this country. It's the direction which Europe is going and the direction which France has gone. And in branding Scientology, the cult. It's just exactly the same kind of thing that happened as far as the Attorney General. It's got much wider repercussions than just the church that was attacked. We may smile at the fury of the Scientologists in their comic opera uniforms or the leaking of the story of Xenu, but it's worth remembering next time you visit a country church that it wouldn't be there if genuine evil emperors hadn't failed to crush a supposedly dangerous cult founded by Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, Christ was regarded as a cult. at his time. And then even this, Damien Thompson can recognize that. And certainly when you think about it, if you turn over to in Daniel 7, over in Daniel chapter 7, we need to understand this, the fact that the prophecies are predicting a kind of governmental authority that is anything but benign. It might be tranquil at the moment in Europe, but you get the crises that are coming, and then things will change quite dramatically, and the laws are in place at the moment, and the view is in place where it applies, religious freedom applies only to those groups that governments register as a religion. And there you get the mark of the beast. It's that, and it's not just the mark of the beast, it's the mark of the beast or the number of his name. There are three things that are mentioned there, and it gives indication that you have to go and register. If you're a Sabbath keeper, the chances are you'd have to go and register as a Sabbath keeper and put yourself under the control of the beast power in order to be a Sabbath keeper. And anybody that didn't register, that says, no, the authority comes from God, it doesn't come from some beast power, then they're not deemed to be a religion, and therefore then there's no religious freedom applied to them. And the chapter 7 of Daniel, verse 7, it says, "And I saw night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, which is the Roman Empire, and leading into the Holy Roman Empire. And behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth, and it devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns." So you see the totalitarian nature of this beast. It was not benevolent. Even Babylon was more benevolent than this beast was. Even though their quality of governance became less as you go down through time, nevertheless the benevolence, the quality of governance becomes less, and the benevolence becomes less as well. Now there are other areas as well that we can look at as far as what's going on in the news. If you turn over to Revelation 18, and just remind ourselves of something else that's prophesied to occur with this beast of Revelation, or with this Gentile beast power, and we find in Revelation 18 and in verse 9, it says, "And the kings of the earth that committed fornication lived deliciously with her, should bewail her and lament her when they see the smoke of her burning." It appears that the Catholic Church is going to go ahead and bring stability into the European theatre, and therefore presumably there's going to be instability, probably financial, probably oil-based, but there's going to be instability initially, and then some form of stability will be brokered by the Catholic Church. And they, when that actually starts to unravel, which it will, here are the merchants of the earth standing far off, verse 10, for the fear of a torment, saying, "Alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." And not only will it be the Roman, the church, the Roman Catholic Church and the headquarters down in the Vatican that will be attacked, but also Europe generally will be attacked by the Asian power that will rise. "And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buys their merchandise any more." And within those merchandise, it says, "And cinnamons," in verse 13, "and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and iPods and all the rest of it. And horses and chariots." And it says, "And slaves and the souls of men." It really means the bodies and the souls of men. In other words, live bodies and dead bodies. That's the indication. It's a very unusual thing to actually have written. Why would you trade in dead bodies? Why would you trade in live bodies? We know if slavery is a thing of the past, well, and the European conventions, again, it's probably that all people are equal, but some people are more equal than others. And there's an article again in today's Telegraph. It says, "The girl was smuggled into Britain," and this is just recently come out, "to harvest her organs." So they actually smuggled out from another country specifically so that their organs can be harvested. "First case will not be the last," the charities warn, as a report show 50% rise in human trafficking. "The first case of a child being trafficked to Britain in order to have her organs harvested has been uncovered. The unnamed girl was brought in from Somalia with the intention of removing her organs and selling them to those desperate for a transplant." So the market is here, the technology is here, but the bodies are not here. And here we already have the trading in the bodies and souls of men. And it's significant because we notice the beast power, and one of the areas would be the transplant industry. And it certainly indicates that the transplant industry is one of the areas, and the medical industry generally, and transplants are the pinnacle of that, will be certainly a prominent form of trade. It says, Child Protection Charities warned last night that the case was unlikely to be an isolated incident, as traffickers were likely to have smuggled a group of children into the country. It's probably the tip of the iceberg that they're witnessing. The case emerged in a government report that showed that the number of human trafficked victims in the UK rose by more than 50% last year and has reached record levels. So again, we see this problem. And it's interesting that if you turn over to 2 Timothy 3, and it's not just here in 2 Timothy, but it also is in Romans 1, it talks about this. But in 2 Timothy 3, and it says, Know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come, or times of stress shall come. And trafficking in organs certainly warrants that. For men shall be lovers of themselves, in other words, to keep themselves alive for that little bit extra time, regardless of the suffering of anybody else. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. And that really carries the can. If you're harvesting organs from a child in order to prolong your life that little bit extra, and the chances are that, yeah, if the harvesting of organs, if the organs are cornea, they can harvest an eye and just leave another eye. If it's a kidney, they can leave the other kidney. But if it's something like the liver, then they don't. They have to kill the child to do it. And you can guarantee that if they're doing this at all, then there'll be the death of the child will not be... it will be certainly something just around the corner. But as I say, over in Romans 1:31, and don't turn there, but over in Romans 1:31, you find exactly the same thing, that natural affection is one area, and it's to do with where they chuck God out of the window. You chuck God out of the window and the natural affection goes down the tubes. What we're also noticing at this present time is the fact that the economy over in America is in chaos, and it's been very nearly came to a head where it's got the paper that I've got is actually from Thursday's paper. I didn't get yesterday's paper, but Thursday's paper, it says the markets are up as the US nears a deal to avert debt crisis. The relief is 11th hour agreement struck ending the poison gas brinkmanship. The markets rose sharply as President Barack Obama and Republicans yesterday scrambled toward a short-term deal to reopen the U.S. government and, crucially, to increase the country's $16.7 trillion borrowing limit with just hours to go before the final deadline. And we came right to the wire, and eventually Republicans backed down. It says the 11th hour deal came as the companies on both sides of the Atlantic made contingency plans in case lawmakers in Washington had failed to reach an agreement which could have thrown the global economy back into recession. In the US, banks have secretly been stockpiling extra funds and cash machines in anticipation of a sudden mass panic, and were considering extending free credit to customers who usually depend on Social Security payments. So we have noticed this ourselves in cashing checks in dollar amounts. The checks in dollar amounts that we've gone through without any problem at all have been queried and have had to be referred to the bank that actually issued them, rather than being cleared in the normal way. The old order of things is no more. China sees this. It's a Chinese rating agency downgrading its U.S. sovereign credit rating Thursday, despite Washington's resolution of the debt ceiling deadlock, warning that the fundamentals for a potential default remained unchanged. So China can see that the real heart and core of things, as it says inside the paper, that was the headline that I just read, but inside the paper it says it's a signal to just how far expectations of Congress have fallen, that a deal to reopen the US government and raise the debt ceiling only until just past the new year could be hailed as any kind of breakthrough. It's no breakthrough, what they've done. Instead, it is yet another depressing illustration of how Washington's broken politics continue to undermine confidence in the US economic recovery and raise questions about the long-term viability of the dollar as the world's reserve currency. And people around the world are seeing this, and you know, we are coming to the end of an era, the end of the Pax Americana, and into the chaos that will precede the rise of the presumably the beast power and the Asian power. While China scoffed and scolded and several hundred thousand US workers went unpaid, the stock markets remained wearily sanguine, confident that in the end, as always, a limited deal would be done. But kicking the fiscal can down the road does not answer the fundamental question raised by Fitch, the ratings agency, about how to end the political brinkmanship and reduce financing flexibility that has now seen Congress fail to pass a budget for the last 5 years. So the real problem remains. It doesn't get any less. And the real problem is actually seen in another article, which I'll just have time to just really touch on. This was in the same paper, today's paper, that if the police are allowed to lie and cheat, we're heading for anarchy. Now, over here, we've had a case where the police have tried to frame an MP for using certain words, and they've used certain techniques to frame the MP. It's the whistle blew on this, and quite frankly, the police have been brought to account. Well, they haven't been brought to account. They've been rumbled as to what was going on. But it also opens as the particular writer here was talking about, it also opens the can of worms of how the police fabricate evidence. And had that individual, being the MP, had that been an ordinary student or somebody, you know, some insignificant individual, he would have probably ended up in prison, or certainly ended up with a fine. Yet it's not the police that have been looked upon around the world, over in, as far as Britain's police force is concerned, with favour, are now degenerate, are becoming more and more degenerate. There's this Babson idea where if the 50% of the people or more are righteous, then you're heading for tranquil times. If 50% or more are unrighteous, then you've got problems. And this is what we're witnessing. And as Mr. Armstrong said when he saw the Attorney General come in, it was a spiritual problem. It was coming from a spiritual source. And that spiritual source was felt was the fact that Satan had been cast down. And as we watch the news, as we watch these things taking place, we need to have the same kind of frame of mind, that there are spiritual problems, there are spiritual forces at work here. And so we post the news up on our website. Don't just look at it and just look straight over. Always look at what is going on behind it, spiritual forces are at work, which will actually cause it to go in the direction that God has foreseen already within his prophecies.